Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode in looking at the life of the Prophet Isa, peace be upon him, better known to Christians as Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. And we looked in the episodes before this at why Christians claim that Jesus Christ is God. Now, we looked through the Bible and I showed you verses of how Christians claim that Jesus is God because he claimed to be the Son of God, how Jesus is God because he was the only begotten Son, and how Jesus is God because he was born without a father, and Jesus is God because he is calling his creator, he calls Allah Father, so therefore he must be God. And we looked at how he has to be God because he received worship, and how he has to be God because he called God Lord and God, because he allowed people to call him Lord and God. And we saw that all of these points were easy to explain away. That these were just sayings that were quite common amongst many other people at the same time, that many of them were called Lord, many of the people were referred to as gods. And this no way means that he was somehow co-equal to God or that he should receive veneration in any way. We also looked at the last episode is that Christians claim that Jesus is God because he was pre-existent. And we know that this seems to be, at the face of it, quite a difficult one to answer. How do you answer the fact that Jesus, or the Bible claims that Jesus pre-existed? Well, if we look at other books in the Bible, if we look at Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, it is quite clear that Jeremiah says that he pre-existed before he existed. Now, does that mean that Jeremiah is God? Does that mean that he is equal to God? Does that mean that he is somehow part of the Trinity, somehow part of the Godhead? No, because Christians have looked at this verse and say that you cannot take this verse literally. It's not a literal. But when it comes to looking at John chapter 8 of the New Testament and verse 58, they say that when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I was, that proves that somehow he is God. But yet you can't apply that same rule when we go back to the Old Testament, to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. How can you do the one to the one and not to the other? It's simple mathematics. Whatever you do to the top, you must do to the bottom. Whatever you do to the left, you do to the right. It's simple. But when it comes to theology, nothing is ever simple, especially when it comes to trying to create a doctrine that was never written, to try and create a doctrine that doesn't exist. You have to have a tough time trying to make these two rules separate. You know, don't do as I do as I say. We often do that as parents, or we say, don't do this to our kids, and then they do the thing and we complain that we actually do it ourselves. We complain when they do it, but we do it ourselves. And so we don't want to be like that. We are Muslims and we are consistent. If we apply a rule to the left, we apply it to the right. If it exists in the Old Testament, surely the same rules should apply in the New Testament. So if Jesus lived in heaven and then came to earth, that might mean something remarkable, as I said in previous episodes. But it does not do enough to establish that he is God. It is not enough to establish him as a supernatural being. All it is phenomenal. It's amazing. If that is true and that is exactly what happened, well, that's amazing. Because he existed in a pre-human form or pre-existed before, that he's somehow God. Now, for Muslims, this is actually even easier than this to explain. For us, we know about predestination. This is pre-existence, predestination. We all existed before Adam existed. We all existed before Abraham existed. We all existed before the Prophet Isa, peace be upon him, existed. We all existed before. Because our whole lives have been written. Our whole story is already completed. Our book is already on the shelf. Our life has been completely written out long before we even thought of or before we even born. Because Allah Ta'ala is in charge of everything. So for us, the statement is that someone would make that, therefore, John or Michael or Shaheen is God because he pre-existed. This is not a problem for us because we know we all pre-existed. Our information, our data pre-exists long before we are actually born. So we don't have a problem with that. However, no such similarity, understanding or comprehension exists within Christianity. Even though I must admit there are some Christians who understand the concept of predestination, but they do not understand it in the same way we do. They take it to a certain point and no further, because they know that if predestination exists, they have a fatalistic understanding of it from the Bible. You see, for a Christian, predestination means I give up. I can't do anything, I just give up. I'm predestined to be a bad guy, and so I don't even try. So They're scared of that because it might bring the numbers down in the church, and if you may be also predestined not to give money to the church that month. So it can be a bad thing for finances for the church. So predestination amongst Christians is not so popular. But for us as Muslims, it's part of our faith. We understand this. This is a tenet of our faith. So however, no such understanding is permitted within the church. And so with John 8:58, they don't apply the same rule as they apply to the Old Testament. So I hope that clarifies that and explains that to you. So now we move on to point number 9. And point number 9 is like a natural progression, a natural flow from point number 8. Because in point number 9 it says, the Christian will say, Jesus is God because he claimed before Abraham was, I am. Which is more or less what we spoke about in the section before this. However, there is a difference. In Exodus chapter 3, when we need to look at this, so you need to get your Bible, you need to mark these things, you need to take notes. No good just sitting there and letting this go over your head. You need to get it, make sure it sinks into your head so you can tell the missionary, you can tell the Christian, you can tell the evangelist when he comes exactly what we've been talking about, and ask him to try and explain this in a logical way that makes any sense to you. And he will not be able to, because this is all made up stuff. This is not stuff that he's getting out of the Bible. This is doctrine that he brought outside of the Bible into the Bible. So in Exodus chapter 3, the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus chapter 3, it is reported that God told Moses, I am what I am, as most English versions of the Bible translate it. So Moses says, who must I say sent me? And he says, I am sent you, or I am who I am sent me. So I am is a word that is used. Now the Hebrews understand this word I am to mean God. And so the word I am is very, very sacred word within the Jewish community. You don't just use it, you can't end a sentence with I am. It's very, very important to the people not to use that word. So the Jewish people that read this text immediately knew that all you needed to say is I am, because I am meant God. So when we go to John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, as most English Bible translated from the Greek. So you have in the one text in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 5, where we just read, it says, and Moses was said, who must say, who sent you? He said, I am has sent you. And so this is what we find in the Hebrew text. But did you hear that in the New Testament, that's the Greek text, Hebrew text, Greek text. There's a difference. They're both using I am. But here's the key to another deception that the Christian missionary is using, or the Christian clergyman or the priest is using. The original of the first text is in Hebrew, and the original in the second text is in Greek. Not the same text, because one is choosing from the one and one is choosing from the other. They're purposely choosing different texts, different translations to translate this from. All but a few of Jesus' words are recorded in Greek. All but a few of Jesus' words are found in the Greek text. So I don't want to lose you in this text that I'm speaking about now. You have the Old Testament and the New Testament. You have two different translations being used, two different languages being used. And we're looking at the word I am, because that's a very, very important word. You see, for the Jew, I am means God, hands down. There is no debate on it. It means God. So let's have a look there. For 200 years before the time of Jesus, the Jews used the Greek translation of the Hebrew Septuagint, or the Hebrew scriptures called the Septuagint. Now, this work